Hallelujah. Well, we're at it again, folks. We're part five of a series called What Just Happened? All right. The post-election guidance from a biblical perspective. And I said first service, you know, after about three or four sermons in a series, people start drifting. They're ready to move on to another topic. You know, these days, man, you got to keep people on their toes. You know, you got to wow them. You got to do all these other kind of things to stay engaged. It's unfortunate because, you know, the scripture says there'll be a time when people will not endure sound teaching. They don't have a stomach for it. They itch. They got to go on to something else now. Okay. We're not going to be on this forever, but I have two more lessons in this series now and also the last week of the last Sunday in December. Next Sunday is a special Sunday that we're celebrating Christmas, and there'll be some performances. That'll be a little different, but we have two more installments in this series. And of course, it's nonpartisan. And it's a biblical response, and it's responding empathetically to people's felt sense of like, man, how am I going to handle the aftermath of the election? And so I want to further expound on something I introduced last week that I know is difficult to grasp for some people. So I'm going to have another round of it today because it challenges the way that people think about God. Maybe you think about God. Okay, and the concept is this. I'm gonna speak slowly. Now, I've outlined how this is supported in Scripture last week. So if you weren't here last week, you want to get that video, okay? Or go to the YouTube. But here are the basic idea. This is the basic ideas. God, who is light, at times puts people in power who operate in the dark. God, who is light, at times, puts people in power who operate in the dark. He carefully observes and uses what's in the shadows. But even though he works with shadowy figures, he's not shady. God is not shady. But he uses shadowy figures. He's not contaminated by darkness. But he uses what happens in the darkness to promote the light. Now that sounds strange, right? And again, we went over scriptural basis for this, and we're going to get more into it. But, you know, because we know if a human being did that, we would look at them sideways. It's like, okay, people who talk about the ends justify the means. Nah, we don't like these means, you know? And so, well, if we can't do that, how come God can do that? Well, number one, he's God. He can do what he wants to do. We read last week in James, God is pure. So everything he does is pure. But he engages with the world in darkness, though. He has to if he want to deal with humans. What you want him to do? Destroy us all? He could destroy us all and just everything just be pure. But because he loves us, wants to redeem us and restore us, he works with us. Ain't he working with you? Is he not using you? Are you perfect? Have you not made mistakes? But he's using you still. Some of y'all, man, you love to take 15 years ago, you love to take it back. 20 years ago, you love to take it back. And you think about all those things that happened that you did or didn't do or things that weren't right and you were foolish or unwise, whatever the case may be, and it happened, God had mercy on you. And then what did God do? He used it for something else. Because he can do that. But let me, we're going to get into why this is the case. Mainly so you can have peace about our nation and our future. Because, yo, more things are going to pop off. Politically, economically, socially, culturally. It almost makes you numb sometimes. You be hearing the same people just talking about, and they have a round table about this, and they talking about that. It's like, ain't nothing. No, they just yapping. Let them yap. You be at peace. So, before we get further into this, I want to remind you of something we talked about last week. It's a really important statement. I think the most important statement of the last couple of weeks. And here it goes like this. God does not think like you. Have you figured that out yet? God does not think like you. He doesn't think like me. He doesn't think like us. God does what he wants to do. But it's not random. It's not random. It's not like he just, you know, trying to just do things to mess with us. He's doing things from a place of goodness and righteousness, and he wants to optimize. He wants the most good for the most people. So God is flexible and inventive and strategic, and he can take a mess and turn it into a miracle. So let me tell you something. We should be in awe of God, not Trump. Well, how did Trump do all that? And then he committed this crime, and then he got immunity, and then he got the House of Representatives, he got all this, and they ain't punishing a man like you in awe of just, man, how does man do all this? Man, we should be talking about God like that. We should be wondering at God, because God is really the one who's in control. God is in control. Do you believe that, though? As you saying that, you nodding your head. Do you believe that? Because there's going to be a news report tomorrow. Are you still going to say that? We got to learn. We got to teach ourselves to just, in the Secret Service, you got to learn how to duck differently. Like when people start shooting guns, you go up because you got to protect the president. Now, most people, instinct, duck. And that's how we are sometimes when things happen in life. We have an instinct. We start yapping. We start walking in fear. We got to start training our mouths. God is in control. We may be feeling afraid, and we got to tell ourselves, God is in control. Say, Lord, how you want me to handle this? How you want me to handle this? Because I know you got it. I know you got it. How you want me to handle this? Okay. But let me just double down on what I said before. God does not think like you. Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, that gives me a security. I got peace with that. Because God's thinking the right way, the godly way, is far away from what the world can even touch. It's safe in the cloud. And I want a God who don't think like, I want a God who's smarter than me. I want a God who's light years ahead of me. That gives me peace. That means sometimes we're going to disagree. We're not going to see things the same way. That's okay. He'll correct me. He'll get me on the right path, okay? But because of that, we shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised that you're surprised at what he thinks. You shouldn't be surprised that you're surprised at what he thinks because he don't think like us. And things happen, and we start attributing things to him that have nothing to do with him. Making claims that he didn't make about all kinds of stuff. Certainly about politics recently. But here's the wonderful thing. God does not leave us ignorant about what is in his mind. I was telling the young people today, we were talking about it, about the fact that, because we were talking about Jonah, and we were talking about how Jonah disagreed with God. We said, now, what do you do when you disagree with God? It's gonna happen. Anyway, I saw him processing. I said, let me say it a different way. Sometimes God talks to you through your parents. Sometimes God talks to you through your teachers. Oh, they got it then. Because when you're young, that is the main way God does talk to you. Okay? Unless they're doing something crazy or evil, right? Your parents are representatives of the Lord. So what happens when you disagree? We start getting into that conversation. Right. And then we looked at how God dealt with Jonah when Jonah disagreed with him. He did put him in that well. OK, when he was running away. But then afterwards, Jonah was still mad at God and God didn't zap him. God was just talking. God started asking him questions and God started teaching him his way. And I told the young people, you know, when you pray and one of the things you pray is you can ask God questions. Well, look, OK, well, I'm not thinking about what it is. Show me what it is then. And I told him, don't be startled when he talk back. He gonna talk back. He might talk back immediately for some of you, right? Okay, and it's the same way with the scripture. We don't have to be ignorant Don't just sit there like mad because God, what you doing? But let me tell you. Well, I read that already. Well, read it again. I'm going to show you some more stuff that you didn't see before with the help of the Holy Spirit. So he puts his thoughts in his book, and God made his mind accessible to us through the written word of God. So we shouldn't draw our own conclusions when big political things, and people are yapping. Everybody, both the Democrats and the Republicans claiming God on their side. They both say, God's on my side. God's with my candidate. No, God's with my candidate. Don't draw your own conclusions. Go to the scripture and pray. Okay. So let's go to the scripture here. Okay. And I'm going to take you to a passage, but before I take you there, I'm going to frame the concept. This is going to really, I'm trying to help us to understand why and how God operates the way he does. So the first thing we want to understand here with respect to government and respect to God manipulating and using the darkness is this. Government begins with God. That's the first reason why he's involved. It begins with him. It's his government. You know, we fighting, but it belongs to him. I tell my kids that when they fight over their toys. Well, you tell him to give his toy. No, you take this back. Da, 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 da. He ain't giving it. He ain't sharing with me. I say, hey, guys, whose toys are they? They're my toys. I bought the toys. They belong to me. So relax, because I can take them all away. Right? I shared that with my students sometime this year, and they were like, that's such a dad move. That's such a dad move. I was like, you're right. That's what we do. Right? But let me show you in scripture this principle, government begins with God. Genesis 1:26. It's there plain as day. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And what does it say? And let them have dominion. And you gloss over that because it just sounds, you know, we just hear so much Genesis, all that kind of stuff. But it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over some of the earth. All the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Friends, that's not just talking about telling animals what to do. That's government. God is delegating to us the authority to govern. I like the way the New American Standard Bible says it in Genesis 1:26. It says, let them rule. Let them rule. What do you think that means? You make the decisions about how it's governed. You make the decisions about managing people and resources. You make the decisions about how you're going to restrain evil and all that. You figure out whether you want to be a democracy or a monarchy or whether you're going to be a socialist institution or a capitalist institution. You decide that. The authority's with you. Now, of course, when he says this here, everybody is aligned with God. Their nature is godly. So we can trust their decision making. Right? Because it's your decision, but they have God's nature. So they're God's image. They're doing the right things. Okay. But what happens when they fall? What happens when they, essentially what human beings did, they committed high treason. High treason. And God had to kick them out. Got to go. Right? Fallen creatures. But, question for you. Did he withdraw permission for them to rule after they fell? You ever hear God say, you ever read that anywhere? He didn't. He didn't remove the authority. Please know that the United States only has a government because God allows it. Please know that Russia only has a government because God allows it. Know that China has a government, Whittier has a government, California has a government because God allows it. People think they're just walking around and making decisions. You are, because I'm letting you. First of all, it was my idea for you to do that in the first place. And I determined not to take away the permission for you to do that. Because if I took it away, you wouldn't be able to do a thing. We know this is the case because when we go all the way to Romans, Paul is expounding on this. Romans 13, verse 1, he says, listen, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. What was he talking about? He's talking about human governing authorities. Why? For there is no authority except from God. Let's just stop there. It just reinforces my point. Any governmental authority that exists only comes from God. Now, they don't know that, most of them. They think, the United States just think, we got sick of England, tired of them taxing us the wrong way and all the things that, and we just decided to start the United States of America, yeah, with God's permission. We just decided to found our country. We just decided to found this state. We just decided, no, with God's permission. Now, most people don't acknowledge the fact that he gave them permission, but it's his authority. Okay, so you don't, there's no authority that exists outside from God. If you have it, it came from God. It ain't just the authority on your job, authority over your kids, all came from the Lord. And that's why when we have authority, we should hold it honorably because we're representing the Lord. It says, for those, there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted. He instituted it. He let humans decide how they want to express it, but he instituted it. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities is resisting who? The Lord. You have resisted what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. And this is why he holds people accountable. Now, I know governments don't always act right. Law enforcement officers don't always act right. People don't act right. And we certainly have, in the United States, we certainly have the right to critique our government without fear of being punished. That's in the Constitution, Bill of Rights. We can, freedom of speech, that's what that is. It's not really telling you to say whatever you want to say. It's saying, listen, if you don't like what's going on, you can say something about it, and they shouldn't be able to punish you just because you're expressing your opinion about it. That's fine, okay? But you need to respect the laws. Some people we don't want to respect the laws because we don't like the people who made the laws. So we think we can do whatever we want. Well, they foul anyway. They got power the wrong way anyway. I'm not following it. That's not what God says. He didn't say these people were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say these people were following him. Now, of course, there's situations. Certainly, we can use the example of the apostles who resisted the authorities when they were preaching the gospel and people told them not to preach the gospel. They preached the gospel anyway. That's a different scenario. That's something different. But in general, we should follow the laws of the land as an expression of our worship to the Lord. People should look at Christians and be like, man, them Christians, man, they're so respectful. They're so respectful. And when you're a respectful person, people respect you. They have a regard for you. Now, I know you're thinking of exceptions in your head. I know you can think of some exceptions. Well, not in this case. I'm talking about as a general principle. I know there's specific instances in which you don't see the reality of that moment to moment, but I'm talking about in general, we should honor God's order. In general. Okay? And watch how God protects you. He protects you. He keeps you. Don't go for the juggler. You got to say, this ain't right. Okay, God, you handle that. Okay, God, you handle that. You and watch him handle it. Okay, so we got to make sense of this. Why does God allow imperfect humans to rule? Like, why did he not renege on his promise? Why didn't he say, like, y'all fail? Like, I'm taking this back. Y'all can't rule nothing. Y'all gonna mess it up. Well, then he just have to stop working with us. You can't not have a government. He didn't create angels to do this. Humans have to do this. I mean, it's a reason why he came as a human to save us. A human got to do this. God's like, I ain't changed. Y'all changed. Why I got to change my program? I'm still, human beings are going to have dominion on the earth, period. I said it. That's what's going to happen. Y'all ain't changing it because you were disobedient. So we're just going to work. We're just going to work around it. I gave you a will because the fact that I gave you permission to rule implies free will. You can decide how you do it. That means people can do evil. That means people can do wicked things. That means you can make a decision that creates tragedy in other people's lives. You can exploit people. God allows for that. And I know you hear that and you're like, you know, well, that ain't right. My life could have been such a this and this and that. But you got to understand, God is doing things in such a way to optimize good, to have the most good for the most amount of people. If he just gave people exactly what they deserved in the terms of what they deserved, none of us would be saved. None of us would be here. So he's flexible so he can get mercy and grace to you. Which means he got to use stuff you don't personally like, but big picture, it's going to help everybody. Well, yeah, but in this moment, I'm getting the short end of the stick. Then find him and help him, have him help. He'll preserve you in ways people won't understand unless they have a relationship with God. People look at you, why you put up with that? Why you ain't that? Why you that? They just not going to understand unless they have a relationship with the God has me. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. God has me. Romans 13, 4 says, for he is talking about, he is referring to God's servant and government officials, including police officers, are God's servants. Many of them don't know that, but they are. So you have to respect them as such. Okay. Now, listen, when I say that, I don't mean we live in a society in a time where we're coming off 2020 and there's a lot of conversation about policing and people being ethical. I'm not saying that you shouldn't respond to something that's unethical or illegal. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in general, you have a posture of respect for people who are in the government or represent the government. You just go in with that, okay? And if they show you a different face and they go outside the law, then you address it the way it should be addressed appropriately in that moment, okay? But some people care, because of the history of relations with police officers or government officials, they just carry on an overall attitude of, I just don't respect you on the strength of principle. I don't respect you. I'm coming in not honoring you at all. I don't even know you. That's not the right posture. That's not the right posture. And this is an area where we have to learn to trust the Lord. Okay, Lord, you told me, you said, okay, this is your servant. Lord, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I may not give this person the benefit of the doubt, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And because I give you the benefit of the doubt, I'm going to act honorably. And you're their superior, so you check them. You check them. You don't let them. Okay? But what happens is we have to learn to bring the Lord even into situations like that. Remember I said the other week, we have a prescribed way that we respond to a situation, whether we're Christian or not, and this is what I'm going to do, and we don't invite him into the situation. Now, we don't think like this, but God thinks like this, right? So it's verse 4 says, for he is God's servant for his good, for your good. God's like, I'm trying to help you. He is God's servant for your good, even if they're not a Christian, even if they're not perfect, even if they have flaws, even if they have an attitude, even if they're unethical. Because God uses people who operate in the dark, doesn't he? Yeah. So you got to go in. Sometimes you go into situations, it's already wrong from the front. You ain't even got there yet. This already wrong. This already wrong. I can see it. But you got to trust God. You're going to work this out for my good. Remember I told you about them 30-second prayers? You get pulled over by the police officer. Lord, work this out for your good. Work this out for your good. Okay? He says, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Okay? So God uses imperfect humans because what other humans he got to work with? You know some? You know some perfect humans? Okay? It's still a human responsibility. It creates the most good for the most people. Okay? And this is possible because both good and evil are resources in God's hands. Not in your hands, but in God's hands, even evil is a resource. He's that good. Like God, this is what happens. He said, give it to me. Give it to me. But God, I did this. Give it to me. But God, this happened to me. Give it to me. I promise you I can make something good out of this. I promise you. You ever seen one of them cooks and it's like, what are we going to eat? Don't worry about it. What you got? What you got? What you got? Okay, I got that. I got that. But there ain't nothing in here. There's something in here. And you come out, man, that food is so good. Like, what'd you do? I do what I do, baby. I do what I do. And we know this, Romans 8:28, he's talking to us. He says, and we know that for those who love God, some things, well, only the good things, only when you made the right decision. Oh, all. Things work together. The evil and the good work together. Like I said, you might interact with some bad characters in government, but that's going to work together with the good God is doing. Some kind of way for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. They work together, what? For good. That don't mean you have to know how it's going to work out, or that don't mean with your eyes you can see it working out, but it's working out. And that's where the trust comes in. He may not have sent it, but he'll use it. You know, if you look in the Bible, God didn't ask for Saul to be king. Saul had an opportunity to do right, though. He could have been used for more than he did. Even though God didn't pick him, he could have used him more if he was obedient. And I don't know if Trump is the right man or not. I don't know if God put him in there or not. But even if he isn't, he has an opportunity to do right. Even if he didn't want to do right before, even if he got in there for his own purposes, he has an opportunity. And listen, for him to see that opportunity, he's going to need the prayers of the saints. And can't nobody effectively lead in government without the prayers of the saints. Every political leader needs our prayers. It's God doing it, but he invites us to participate with prayer. And we're going to ask that he see the light. That Paul prayed this over the church. He says, enlighten their eyes, open their eyes that they can see. Some people don't know because they can't see. That's why Jesus and Stephen said, God, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Well, how he don't know? We don't know stuff too. There's stuff we don't know too. If you knew, you would do differently. Then when your eyes get open, you do it differently. I like what Genesis 50 said in 50 verse 20. Joseph is talking about the hard time he had. His brother sold him out to slavery and tricked him, left him for dead. But God used it for good. And he's talking about it. He said, listen, verse 20, as for you, talking about his brothers who sold him out. He says, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. You was conniving and God was like, okay, I see what you're doing. I will use that then. I will use that. But God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive and they are today. You don't know, you know who's being saved by the evil that could be happening right now. Well, how come God you ain't doing it? Say, hey, just shh. Quiet. Don't draw attention to it. Just pray. You know, when you're running a sting operation, you gotta wait for the person to buy the drugs so you can have a warrant to arrest them. But if you talk too much, they won't do it. They gonna know it's a cop. Proverbs 16:4. I love this. It says, the Lord has made everything for its purpose. Some things, everything, even the wicked for the day of trouble serve a purpose. I mean, my mind gets boggled thinking about it, but even that has a purpose. Well, okay, all these people doing evil things, won't they mess up God's plan? Nope. Proverbs 21:30 says this, no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. You can't thwart God's plans by accident. You know, you playing chess, you could by accident, percentage-wise, it would be difficult for it to actually happen. By accident, you can win a chess match with somebody. Just by, you know, whatever you're going to do to decide randomly. You can't do it with God. He's too many steps ahead of us. You can't even accidentally mess up his plan. He's just going to use it for something greater. Proverbs 21:31, it says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle. You know, back in the day, a horse, a strong horse, was a sign of military strength. Today, we wouldn't say horses, maybe we'd say nuclear weapons. So we could, if I take some liberty today, I could say, you know, the nuclear weapons are made for the day of battle. This person over there in this country are threatening a nuclear war. They say they're going to do this, but guess what it says? But the victory belongs to the Lord. Serious. God's like, bring it. Really? You're going to nuke me? Okay. So, God is in control. God manipulates human government for his purposes. He is behind the scenes with everything. He's behind the scenes. We don't always know what he's doing behind the scenes. Sometimes he reveals it to us. Sometimes he reveals it to individuals like Daniel, who was praying in Babylon. And his country had been colonized. They'd been taken into Babylon. And as he was praying, God gave him insight into the future in terms of the nations he would raise up. Because he says, Babylon is in charge now. They're not going to be in charge forever. I'm going to build up this other empire. It's going to come. Then another empire is going to come. Then another empire is going to come. And at the end of the day, the kingdom of God is going to crush all of them. That's the vision Daniel has, because he's praying and getting insight from the Lord. I'm telling you, that's why you got to pray, because if you don't pray, you won't have peace. He will show you. He'll be like, okay, listen, you're stressing out. Let me tell you exactly what I'm doing. You get it? We good? Okay, good. Now be quiet. Quit worrying. I'm just telling you so you be okay. You know, before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, how can I not tell my friend Abraham? You can have it like that with the Lord. People who are ready to pray, people who've given assignments to intercede for the nations, for the country, he'll give you insight because he wants you to pray effectively. Okay, you're faithful coming to prayer, you're faithful getting up in the morning or whatever time. Okay, I'm going to give you a prayer assignment now. I want you to pray about this. You see that senator? Pray for him and his wife and his family. Nobody, it's not publicly yet, but they're going through this. Word of knowledge. Let's continue here. God manipulates human government. I love this passage. Proverbs 21:1, it says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. He turns the king's heart, whoever the leader, whatever God wants to turn his heart, God will do that. I like the way the New King James Version says it. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. That should give you peace right there. No matter what President Trump does, his heart is in the hand of the Lord. Every time I'm ready, God ready, he could just, you know, squeeze it. Hold on. Or maybe he won't. It won't be Trump. He'll squeeze us because we have a check and balance system. You know, we have a king. So, Senator, don't approve that. Don't let that pass. Judge. Well, why can God do that? Because the authority is his. And when I'm good and ready, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to use it when I want to. Do what you're going to do. Right? And so what he does, he works. It's kind of like chess. You know, when you play chess, how many people have played chess before? It's not checkers, but it has some similarities to checkers. When you have chess, each piece on the board has a different personality and capacity and inclination. So, you know, a certain piece, they could just move one space at a time. Some pieces can move diagonal. You know, some pieces can move horizontal. There's a piece that moves in an L shape. And you use the piece based on how it's inclined. So if I have a rook, this time I'm going to use the rook. If I have a knight, this time I'm going to use a knight. If I have a pawn, this time I'm going to use a pawn. So I got a Republican. Okay, this time I'm going to use him. If I got Democrats, I'm going to use her. This is their personality type. I'm going to use that. Because when it says it's using their heart, God is using the material that's already in their heart. He just brings it to the surface. And God's playing a game of chess. Because I want to work with human will so I can optimize how many people I can help. And giving people time to repent. What if God just took you out because you just wasn't getting it right on day one? But he's using you even though he know you foul. But I'm giving you time to see what you're doing. And I saw it the whole time, but I still use you. Now get your act together so we can do even more things together. Daniel 2:21 says, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. That should be enough right there. He does that. We think the government just toppled. Nope, God was involved. And we try to speculate as to what he's doing, but sometimes he's setting up a move, like he's setting up things 30 moves in advance. The thing is actually for you. You may not even be alive to see. But I got to set this up, domino over here, so this domino falls over and this domino moves over here. Because I'm working with people. I'm flexible. I'm merciful. Giving people time to get right. Okay, to drive this home, we're going to have one, maybe two examples before we close out this morning. An example of an individual God is using, he raised up, but who, you know, they're not perfect. Okay, just because God uses you doesn't mean he endorses everything you do. We got to understand that piece. Because some of us are like, you know, you got people who have enthusiastically supported Trump, and that's totally fine. You should not, nobody should be ashamed for who they voted for. This is America. We get to decide who we vote for, and we might be convinced of one opinion or another, so no one should feel shamed for who they voted for, right? And there are people who supported Trump who see him as the Messiah. He can do no wrong. He's just perfect. And as proof, they use all the ways the nation has favored him. Right. The immunity and not being and all these things, it just seemed like nothing sticks on him and he could just do whatever he wants. He could say whatever he wants and there's no consequence. OK, it's complicated. Well, how could God use somebody like that? OK, so I just want to point a figure out to you when we talk about Gideon here. Right. And I don't know how many of you know the story of Gideon. He was called by God to help save Israel from their enemies. And this is during a time of judges where people, Joshua had already led the people into the promised land, but then they started acting up and they didn't want to follow God's law and they did whatever they wanted in their sight. That was good. Whatever I want to do, I'm going to do. So there was no government. So God had to set up an emergency government using judges. This was not his plan, but he had to just pick people because he just had to pick the people who were available. Okay. One of them was Gideon. And Gideon, Judges chapter 6, verse 11 says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abarizite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. okay? And if you know anything about the story, Gideon is this man, timid man, and God is says, no, I'm with you. You're a mighty man of valor. You continue to read the story. He saves the children of Israel from the Midianites, and they get free from their oppression, and he's mightily used of God, okay? And that's all most of us know about Gideon. But you read about him later after all his victories. You go to chapter 8, verse 22 of Judges. It says this, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, because they're all happy that he helped them win the battle. He says, rule over us. They say, rule over us, you and your son and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian. Okay? They want him to be king. Now listen, here's the thing. During this time, in fact, Moses wrote about it in the Torah. He says, listen, don't pick a king. Because the king's going to do this and the king's going to do that. God is your king. Right? That was in the law. They shouldn't have a king. Right? So Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. And that sounds good because he's saying all the right things, isn't he? That's what the law says. God said don't have a king. But right after he says that, verse 24 says, and Gideon said to them, now let me make a request to you. But hold on a minute. Let me ask you something. Every one of you give me the earrings from his spoil. So all the treasures you got from beating the, or winning over or having victory over the Midianites, I want you to give me the gold earrings you got from them. Okay? And then he says, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites, the Midianites, right? And they answered, we will willingly give them. Okay, so he's like, don't call me king right now, but like he's kind of acting one like one right now. Okay, we will willingly give them. And they spread a cloak and every man threw it in the earrings of his spoil. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold. This is a lot of gold, right? This is too much for a guy who's not king. Because besides the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple garments worn by the kings of Midian, and besides the collars that were around the necks of their camels. So why does he want all this gold from them? And says, and Gideon made an ephod out of the gold. Now, an ephod is basically the garments that the Levitical priests would wear as they go into the temple to sacrifice for the people's sins and to commune with God. And so ephods were worn for the children of Israel to worship the Lord, but he was not creating this ephod to worship God. That's not what it's for. He's using it to worship foreign gods, false gods, right? And we're going to see why, right? And it's clarified in the fact that and verse 27, Gideon made an ephod of it and put it in his city in Ophrah. And guess what? And all Israel whored after it there. Okay. Now, God is using sexual language here because he uses that as an analogy for his relationship with his people because he says, I'm married to you. Right. And so we have a relationship. And so you shouldn't go be with other gods. And he uses sexual analogies here. So when he says they are whoring after other gods, it's essentially saying by way of analogy, they're having an affair with another god. They are worshiping other gods because of this ephod that Gideon created. The man that God used. The man God used. It says, and all Israel whored after it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his family. Now, it goes on to say, so Midian was subdued before the people of Israel and they raised their heads no more. So they still had victory over the Midianites for that season of time. But that doesn't mean Gideon was, just because God used him, doesn't mean God endorsed everything Gideon was doing. Now, there's no commentary from the Lord on what he did, but the scripture's showing us this man ain't right in some areas. And he will have had to answer to God for that. But just to show you the complexity of how God uses people. Right? I'm going to give you one more example. And this will be our last one and we'll close out, right? We're going to look at Jehu, really interesting figure. God uses Jehu to defeat or to punish Ahab and Jezebel. Even those people who haven't read the Bible know the word Jezebel. Okay, it's stuck, right? Because they're a husband and wife who were evil in how they ruled the Israel, right? And they were causing the people to worship false gods, et cetera. And so God's finally tired of it. And he raises up Jehu to stop them, all right? So 2 Kings 9, verse 1, it says this. Then Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, tie up your garments and take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when you arrive, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi. And go in and have him rise from among his fellows and lead him to an inner chamber. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus says the Lord, I anoint you king over Israel. This is the Lord anointing Jehu king over Israel. He's not part of the royal family, but he's being anointed king. And then he says, then open the door and flee and do not linger. Okay, so the young man listens to Elisha. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead, and when he came, behold, the commanders of the army were in council. And he said, I have a word for you, O commander. And Jehu said, to which of us all? And he said, to you, O commander. Jehu was a commander of the army. So he arose and went into the house, and the young man poured the oil on his head, saying to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anoint you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel, and you shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, so that I may avenge on Jezebel the blood of my servants and the prophets, because Jezebel killed all these prophets of God. And God's like, I'm not having it anymore. Right? So he raises up Jehu and he says, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord, all the servants, she killed God's servants. She killed God's prophets. Verse 8, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the territory of Jezebel. I mean, he's serious about Jezebel. Like the dog's going to eat you. You ain't going to be buried. The dog's going to eat you. That's how evil she was. And none shall bury her. And then he opened the door and fled. Now, if you read the story of Jehu, man, he's amazing. Like, he's like an Avenger. Man, he is just, woo! It's a really exciting story to read. He defeats Ahab, kills Jezebel, all these other people, and just knocks it out. Amazing things for the kingdom of Israel. But then look at chapter 10. Verse 28, it says, like I described, thus Jehu wiped out Baal from Israel. Baal is the false god. But Jehu did not turn aside from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So this was the king that was before. This was a king that preceded Jehu, who was evil, and he walked in the same sins of previous kings. And then not only did Jehu sin, but it says, and he made Israel to sin. That is the golden calves that were in Bethel and in Dan. So he was also creating idols. And the Lord said to Jehu, which this is really interesting, because you have done well in carrying out what is right in my eyes and have done to the house of Ahab, according to all that was in my heart, your sons of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. So interesting. He's rewarding Jehu for what he did for him. He's committing idolatry, but for this part you help me with, I'm going to bless your seed. Verse 31, but Jehu was not careful to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all his heart. He did not turn from the sins of Jeroboam, which he made Israel to sin. Okay, here's part of what I think is going on. God gives people opportunity. You ever give somebody some responsibility and you just watch them? You're not saying nothing, you just watch them, see what they're gonna do. And they think they're riding high because, you know, they're not being responsible with it, but you're not saying anything yet because you want to give them an opportunity to do right. I knew Jehu had issues when I called him. I had need for him, but I want to see if he going to do right. He ain't doing right. Now, it don't say that God punished him right there, but trust that he had to answer to the Lord for the things he did when he passed, when he died. Okay, but I'm just here to show you God will use imperfect people. And the reason why he raised up Jehu was not because of Jehu, because he was punishing Ahab and Jezebel. He just picked somebody. That don't mean I like you. That don't mean you're doing great things. I'm literally using you as a tool to punish this other person. I don't even like what you do, but that's okay. I can use whoever I want. And I'll deal with your sins when I deal with your sins. Don't think I didn't forget about that. But just because I'm using you don't mean that I'm endorsing your sin. And just because you got sin don't mean I can't use you. So all this to say, put your trust in the Lord. He is so in control. Like he is so in control. Be at peace. And when you even feel a little worry, Stick some prayer on that. Stick some word on that and be at peace. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.